I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's either the Jets or Michigan football for me.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Michigan football would just be so amazing. I wouldn't even know what to do. And the Jets winning a Super Bowl, I can't even wrap my head around
that.
I can't.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Raiders defensive end Max Crosby, plus actor and comedian Lil Rel Howery. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, live on a Tuesday here in late June 2023. We're here on the Roku channel, and it is an exciting day around these parts. We'll get to that information later on this three-hour edition of the program, live on Channel 210 on the Roku channel. We're live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We're thrilled to be with you if you're listening to us on our podcast. All 3 hours every single day, split up 1 hour each on the Rich Eisen Show podcast version, where all podcasts are acquired thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. We're thrilled also to be available for you on demand through the Rich Eisen Show collection page on the Roku channel. There's our YouTube stream. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is how you can catch up with this show when everything's all over. And then we re-air every single day once we are done. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is back in the chair. How are you?
Good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit.
It's lit. It's CM Punk Pipe Bomb Anniversary Day, Rich. And if you're a wrestling fan, you know what I'm talking about.
And if you're not, that sounded completely Greek to me. What is it again today?
CM Punk's Pipe Bomb Day, the day he dropped one of the greatest promos in the history of wrestling. Okay. I actually had the shirt on with the entire promo here.
Oh, it is.
It's
very
great.
Good.
It's a monumental day.
That's
in wrestling
quite a, that's quite a lot of copy on that shirt.
Whoa.
A lot of copy.
Whoa.
We don't understand things in this world.
Like what
when
I just said?
No, it's just that. We don't understand things in this world when they're down the middle, when they're normal. You know, I think that's the way things go in this world. We see it sometimes with our style, the way we talk on this program, that we're not blowtorching somebody who says something in sports or does something as a coach or a manager somewhere, blowtorch the place. And we also, you know, give a nuanced take, with the exception of Brandon Miller saying Paul George is the GOAT. That for me, took him off the board.
You have to draw the line, right?
Yeah. Charlotte chose him second overall anyway in the draft last Thursday. Mm. But I start my commentary on Damian Lillard that way, because if he doesn't think that his current situation in Portland, Oregon will lead to a championship this year, if he doesn't happen this year, then why in the world isn't he out there on Twitter, on Instagram, doing his thing to say, I want the hell out of here, and forcing that situation on the Blazers to force them to send him to a place where he will have a better chance of winning a championship this year. Why isn't he screaming it from the rooftops? Why isn't he pulling, to use a 70s analogy, a full-on Howard Beale, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, going to his window and screaming it out there and telling the Blazers front office and the general manager, Joe Cronin, I'm out. And in the NBA, when a player of his stature says, I'm out, guess what happens? That player gets out. How in the world is he not doing this? And then when the Blazers make a statement yesterday saying that they met with him and his agent, Aaron Goodwin, Joe Cronin, the Blazers' general manager, with a three-sentence statement straight out of the Belichick playbook. I met with Dame and Aaron Goodwin this afternoon. We had a great dialogue. We remain committed to building a winner around Dame. That's it. And clearly that's not everything, right? Because Lillard had to have demanded a trade in that set two, right? It had to be a set two. It's not just like, let's sit down and go, okay, what are your plans? Do you have plans? I think we have plans. Dave, what? It's like Kramer telling Jerry Seinfeld that marriage is a prison. You talk about your day. How was your day today, Dave? Do you have a good day today? Yes. Joe, I had a good day today. How was your day today? Is that the way it went? Because we're sitting here thinking there has to be some sort of fire, brimstone, demand, threat. And then Brian Windhorst goes on the Worldwide Leader in Sports today and says Lillard actually said to the Blazers he's willing to play this thing out right now.
Like you said.
He's willing to play it out. See what you got. Not putting any threats on you, so put pressure. You do your business in free agency, and we'll see how it lands with me. But you do your thing. I'll do my thing, which is being Damian Lillard and keeping on showing up to the facility and practicing and getting better and being in shape for a huge season for me and just being a great Oregonian. And everybody in the world that does this for a living, I don't know how they know how to handle it. Like, really? You're just going to be normal? And let a professional handle it? Now, Sam Amick of The Athletic says Dame has a plan. The Blazers re-sign Jeremy Grant and go get Draymond Green next week.
Wow. Okay.
And that's what Damian likes. And if Sam Amick's hearing that, then maybe that was placed in front of Aaron Goodwin's plate, who then calls up Joe Cronin and is like, oh, I think we need to meet. Let's have a talk, all three of us. Okay. And that's the way things apparently stand with all due respect to Harden and anybody else that's in the mix, including Draymond, the one guy who is potentially in play next week, biggest guy, biggest name out there that's in play. Give me another one. Is there another one? Is Jaylen Brown potentially in play next week?
Seems unlikely.
This could be as unlikely as Jaylen Brown in play next week.
I mean, Kyrie's a free agent. I don't know. You're going to get Austin Reeves?
This is it. So that's where things stand. There was a meeting. Three sentences come out of it. And Lillard's willing to play this out. And maybe he's willing to play it out, as I said, all the way through to next trade deadline when he taps his wrist at the front office and says it's now time for Dame to leave. Or he's tapping his wrist saying it's Dame time to the rest of the Western Conference that I told you I could do it here. And I believed in the front office and the contents of that Monday, June 26th conversation will just remain private. Amazing how things could be just normally, quietly, professionally, level-headed in this day and age. Who knew? It can happen.
I don't know. I just don't believe any of it.
I get it.
That goes back to our convo last week, Rich. You know, the nuanced take against the hot take.
Yeah, no.
Scorched earth against the, we'll wait and see.
Well, because in the NBA, you get your way if you're Damian Lillard, and you just have to state your way. And the way it's normally stated is, I want out. And you've got to let me go, because that's the way it works in the NBA. Contract schmunk. Schmontract.
Schmontract.
Whatever. So that's the way things stand right there. Mm-hmm. First up on this program is Tom Pelissero, frequent guest host of this show.
Tommy P.
And my colleague from the NFL Media Group. I do believe we're going to catch him on the putting green.
Whoa.
Prior to a round with him, Ian Rappaport, and Mike Garofolo.
Wow.
Yes. All three of them together.
NFL Network open?
I don't know.
Interesting.
You know, you just like stand there and go, what do you got, a 7-iron, an 8-iron, or Dalvin Cook news? What do you got? What's in your hand?
Hey, you got about 156 in, and where's D-Hop going?
That's it.
Now, you guys know I'm not a big golfer.
You know, wait a minute.
Are you allowed to be on your phone while you're golfing?
I think it's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon, right?
And in some cases, you get a letter in your locker.
Yeah, not great.
I don't know whose course it is. I think it's probably Ian's course, I think. We'll find out. Oh, all this information.
Wow,
we're going to get this information
this is great.
The information man.
Wow.
Tom Pelissero, who with Garofalo is on Good Morning Football this week. Here at the breakfast table on NFL Network.
Tom's been hoodies the last 2 days.
Today he is not. He's wearing something quite
I saw the teal hoodie yesterday.
Yeah, at any rate. He and the rest of the breakfast table welcomed Tyler Conklin of the New York Jets yesterday, tight end, and asked him if there was room for Dalvin Cook in their locker room. And he said, absolutely, there's room. Bring him. That gets tweeted out today. Even though it happened yesterday, Dalvin Cook saw it this morning. And Paul Andrew Esden Jr., who I know of because he frequently aggregates a lot of our Jets material here. And this just in, I'm a 54-year-old cheerleader, so there's a lot of Jets talk here. Paul is a diehard Jet fan, getting a shout out here today. Well done, Paul. He tweeted this out. Oh, baby. Of course, he's very excited at the notion that Dalvin Cook could come to the Jets. Dalvin Cook retweets it with 200 emojis. Now, let me just say this.
What does that mean?
That's what I'm saying. Here's what it means. He's into the idea. He likes the idea. Dalvin.
Or there's room. He agrees that there's also room for me?
Well, that anybody who there's room for anybody who wants to win a Super Bowl is what Conklin said, and maybe that's what he's saying. But also, I would imagine he'd say, I'll go to the Jets, even though Breece Hall's coming back from a knee injury, even though there's Michael Carter there, even though that's a there's some reps to be had, but it's not like bell cow reps to be had.
Right. You're not getting 20 touches in that room.
Probably not. Probably not. And as you know, if Breece Hall is healthy, the one who should get the 20 touches is Breece Hall.
Yeah, he good.
And if he comes back looking like he did before his knee got blown out in Denver last year, he is an Ohtani-like home run hitter.
Who hit 26 last night?
Judgian. All right, you know, unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
I'll throw Judgian just to be a New Yorker. And a polar bear.
Thank you.
Okay. I understand there's two teams in New York, and the Mets are the ones associated with the Jets. Okay. That's the guy. But so I will just say this. I don't know the cap ramifications. I don't know what Cook is willing to take to join a team like the Jets. But if I am the New York Jets, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing Hard Knocks coming knocking on my door, and I'm like, who dis? New door, who dis? Not answering. They see the Mount Laurel, New Jersey area code on their phone and sent straight to voicemail. And I understand that you don't want that coming to your house or whatever. But you made the splashiest splash of this non-playing season. You made the splashiest splash in the NFL since Brady was signed by Tampa. You made one of the splashiest splashes that New York sports has seen in quite some time. And you, to use a famous Jim Fossil Giants head coach phrase, you pushed all the chips to the center of the table to get that chip. And Aaron Rodgers is coming in, and he's 39, and we have no idea how long he's going to be there. None at all. I am hoping, as a 54-year-old cheerleader, that he will decide, love it here. Love the Tony Awards. Love all the tickets I'm getting at MetLife concert series, whatever the hell's going on with him, with Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift. Love the reservations. I'm sure he's dining fine in New York. I'm sure He loves it there. He's going to win enough games this year. Maybe not a Super Bowl, but win enough games this year. Maybe he does win the Super Bowl. Maybe he is picking confetti out of his hair in the Canyon of Heroes. But in order to do that, you've got to keep making splashes. And if Dalvin Cook is 100 plus 100 on Twitter, and I know you love when I talk that way, TJ, if he's out there saying it, you go knock on his door and say, Dalvin, what do you think? Because if the Jets show up to your town and the Jets show up to their stadium with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis and Randall Cobb and
Alan Lazard,
who they got, and also Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook.
And Tyler Conklin.
Yes, indeed. And the rest of the tight end group and a Tony Award nominated producer, CJ Uzama. Okay. Uzama. And the defense and Salah. And they come to your town with that team. That's a pretty damn good team. And it's better than the team that doesn't have Dalvin Cook. So you keep reinforcing the fact that you are all in. You have absolutely cannonballed into the NFL pool of 2023, and you don't want a piece of the pond. And in order to avoid the pond and stay in a pool, you keep adding, keep going. You're pot committed in Flowery Branch, New Jersey. So I'm seeing Dalvin Cook say this. Figure out the touches. That's Nathaniel Hackett's issue. And you don't think Aaron Rodgers would say, oh, okay. So you're that aggressive. You're getting Dalvin Cook on top of Alan Lazard, on top of everybody that I went and didn't give you a list for, but told you my preference for you to go get to make me feel comfortable. You're bringing Dalvin Cook in here? Oh, maybe I will continue to eat right and sip the proper tea and go out there and stay till I'm 42, 43, 44 and show Brady you're not the only one that could do it after turning 40. Let's go. Go get him. Joe Douglas, go get him. And that's my two cents on that one.
I like that. I like that for you.
Let's take a break. Let's see how realistic it is. Tom Pelissero is going to join us also on this program. Lil Rel Howery is in studio, hour number three. We talked about the Outlaws with Adam Devine last Friday. Lil Rel is in this film on Netflix as well that is streaming a couple Fridays from now, July 7th. Also on this show, Kevin Van Valkenburg, formerly of ESPN, now of No Laying Up, a site dedicated towards the sport of golf. The Athletic got the fine print, got the six-page document that the PGA Tour signed with the LIV Tour.
The agreement.
Or, pardon me, the PIF.
PIF.
PIF with agreement. The Saudis. And sure enough, the fine print says, essentially, Saudis didn't buy us. We actually got the Saudis to drop their lawsuit with us and essentially let us decide what to do with the LIV Tour. And all they get is, you know, seated a four-man table where we own three seats. They just give us their money, a couple of sponsorship rights, and off we go. That's about
okay.
What I'm reading, and there's not many other details to it. So how does this work? Did the Saudis really drop the LIV Tour just to get a couple of sponsorship rights and the right to be the lone investor in a new business model for the PGA Tour? Did that happen? Kevin Van Valkenburg will let us know in hour number two. But Tom Pelissero, apparently from a practice putting green in New York State, with my two other NFL Network information compadres, do we just pass the phone around and see if their information matches?
Three for one. Why not?
Okay.
Like Tom, telephone.
It's going to be fun. Tom Pelissero when we come back. I I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero is again going to join us in about 2 minutes' time. Tom knows how this works. He knows how it works. We come back from break. Yep. We're on Roku for just a bit.
Yeah, we talk for us.
We talk for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we save, you know, once we're back with the radio audience or our big audience together. He knows how this works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it again. This is a re-air that's on NFL Network right now. It's like a blue paisley shirt. Yeah. He's got over
the hoodie he's got on.
Oh, is it a hoodie today? It
didn't look like yesterday it. Was a hoodie.
Yeah.
The clip with Conklin was the hoodie.
Yeah. That was yesterday. Just Dalvin Cook just retweeted it today.
Oh, I see.
You didn't see that until today. Dalvin was busy.
Dalvin's busy.
And again, go get him. Better with you than the Dolphins. But if the Dolphins and also if you get the Dolphins to overpay, great. Great. What's it to you? Give him a shot. You tell your locker room that we're here to continue. You show Aaron Rodgers. We're after him, by the way. Hey, Aaron, go enjoy whatever concert series is next in MetLife. You know, go see Wicked again if you want.
Wicked again.
Apparently, that's the first one he saw. He saw Wicked, and then he saw Uzama's play, which is called Ain't No Mo.
Ain't No Mo.
What's so funny? It's Ain't No Mo.
It's just a funny name. Ain't no mo.
It's not funny. It's just funny when I say it. Just come out and say it. Just come out and say it.
It's funny.
Is it funny on its own?
Is it funny
when I say it?
I mean, can both things be true?
No. No.
They can't be.
I mean, I'm just talking about the play. Ain't no mo.
Ain't no mo. Ain't no mo. Is it mo apostrophe? Or is it possible?
Yeah, that's a good question. How is it?
I don't know. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Let's get to it, everybody. Here he is, back here on the show from the NFL Network, NFL Media Group, Tom Pelissero. How are you, Tom?
Doing great, Rich. Currently driving. Well, kind of, I'm not driving. Mike Garofalo is. We are working our way through a driving rainstorm to meet Ian Rappaport at his golf course in, we call that upstate New York, Mike? Rye, New York, Westchester.
Rye.
Ooh.
Okay.
So we'll see how all this, exactly all this shakes out for us. But if we're playing in what we're currently sitting in, I don't have enough layers on to survive.
Well, I don't think the heavy stuff's coming down for a few hours, Tom. So it's impressive.
Wow.
Now, Garofalo's all in on this, or is he just like driving, somewhat reluctantly, as I would? I don't want to play golf in a rainstorm. I don't want to do that.
Well, we also have a tee time tomorrow, and I think that Mike and I have already made the decision that we will not be showing up for that one. We are going to make it. We're going to suck it up for Ian because he can't come meet us halfway. We've got to go all the way to him, of course. We hope there appears to be a break on the radar about 1:30 p.m. today, and we hope to get this thing in.
Okay, very good. Very good. So that's golf and weather together with Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show.
On the Tuesday.
All right. So Dalvin Cook retweeted your chit-chat with Conklin yesterday. Tom, did you see that?
I did not notice that Dalvin had retweeted it, but I'm not surprised. I think, you know, if everybody is closely monitoring his social media activity at this point. Those two guys are really close, too. Dalvin and Conklin had lockers right next to each other, so they got really close during their days in Minnesota. It would make a lot of sense for the Jets to be in that mix, especially because, you know, at this point, we'll see whether or not Breece Hall is ready for week one. If he is, it's hard to imagine that they're going to cut him loose and carry the ball 25 times. They got a really difficult first six games on the schedule. You know, they maybe have a little bit of money to play with here. Add one more playmaker to that team. And Dalvin Cook is that rare guy who's a free agent in June. You know, nothing against DeAndre Hopkins, but he's a free agent because he's been hurt the last couple of years. He served a suspension. He's 32 years old. You know, Dalvin's coming off four straight 1,000-yard seasons, four straight Pro Bowl appearances, and he's 27. This is the rare opportunity for some team to add a bona fide difference maker at this stage in the game, and the Jets are certainly not alone in that regard. There's a bunch of teams that are going to be in on this. It's just a matter of, you know, exactly when Dalvin makes his decision and where the fit and the money are going to be right.
Yeah, but so who's got the cap space and the desire to pay Dalvin Cook anything remotely close to what the Vikings decided was too rich for them? Tom?
Cap space is what you make it. Really, there's always, you know, teams generally speaking, unless you're really pressed, you can go to the piggy bank. You got some of those guys who have big base salaries, and to add somebody who's a unique type of player like a Dalvin Cook, you can free up that money. Just do a cap conversion, convert a chunk of base salary to a signing bonus and prorate it. And, you know, if you're going to go all in and try to win a Super Bowl right now, this is the type of guy that you would do it for. So, I mean, just like within the AFC East, I would fairly say you can make a case that the only team in that division that should not be in the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes is the one that employs his brother in Buffalo. You know, the Patriots would make sense. Miami's been debated a lot. That would certainly make sense. And the Jets as well. And those are not the only teams. You still got the Broncos. You know, they're a team that, do they have the money to get into the neighborhood of what Dalvin Cook's going to command on the market? It's hard to imagine because of where they've invested at that position and elsewhere. And they really did, you know, push to make some other things happen in terms of solidifying that offensive line.
All right.
That's
what happens when you're driving through a golf community. All right, let's try and get him back on.
Yeah.
You there, Tom?
I am here.
Okay, very good.
Really coming down now, Rich. I'm trying to talk as clearly loud as I can, but I'm giving the weather report out here. We see a westerly wind coming about 35 miles per hour. Large puddles out here on the, what are we on, the George Washington Parkway? What are we on? We're on the Deegan. The Deegan Parkway, the van pulled over. I bet this might be ancillary. Anyway, go on.
Honestly, again, put me on speakerphone for a second. Can you pop me on speaker, Tom?
Yeah, I'll pop you on speaker. Here okay. We go.
Hey.
Can you hear anything here, Rich?
Mike.
It's really hitting us hard.
Okay, real quick. Garofolo, you don't want to do this. You don't be driving in the rain and Major Deegan to go play golf with Rappaport when you know there's no golf that's going to happen. You can't be happy about this, Mike. You can't.
We're hearing that there's actually not weather up in Rye, which doesn't make much sense.
It's ridiculous.
It's an absolute monsoon, and we're only 14 miles away at this point. So we're doing this in a blind leap of faith right here. And it's not just raining. It is a monsoon right now.
Talking
and driving right now.
Exactly. Okay. All right. All right. Let's take it. All right. Be well, Mike. Drive safely. Wow. My gosh. I mean, honestly, maybe this is like Rappaport's plan to be the only information person on NFL Network at this point in time. You know?
Yeah. Much like George Costanza's in-laws, we are currently driving to a non-existent cabin in the Poconos. On his way to L.A. to have some negotiations.
Trying to get those Cheever letters.
I said, be careful.
Oh,
be careful
my gosh. All right. So what's the timing on all this? Because clearly, as we pointed out, it's golf season right now in the NFL. So what's the timing on all this with Dalvin, do you think, Tom?
Well, and that's what I was saying, I think, when we lost each other there. But, you know, there's 4 weeks until training camp. And I don't know
I mean, I do not believe that that's really a hard deadline in the mind of Dalvin Cooker's agent. You know, they can afford to be patient here. The best money may come when teams realize that maybe their rookies aren't ready or maybe there's an injury that happened. But this is also not a situation where, you know, he doesn't have offers. I mean, Dalvin Cook has multiple offers right now, and he's going to command a significant contract. I don't think he's taking a big discount to go back to Miami or any place else. But he's in control here again because he's just that rare player that's transcending, you know, transcends the market. Guys like this just don't become available in June. So, you know, if I had to guess, I would say we probably have an answer prior to the start of training camp, but that's no guarantee. You know, he well could take this into August if he wants to and take some mileage off his body.
Well, I mean, maybe I'll push back a little bit here, but you've got your ear to the ground way tighter than I do. Maybe that June is the time for guys like this to become available in the running back position from now on. Maybe we're watching a watershed moment. I don't used to mean to use that word where you're driving in a monsoon, but maybe we are seeing a figurative watershed moment here where Dalvin Cook's available, as Zeke Elliott's been available, as Leonard Fournette, who was on the show when you were sitting in here along with Dalvin Cook, is available. Kareem Hunt is available. Saquon Barkley can't get the figure he wants from the Giants right now. Maybe we're seeing something, Tom, at this position. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there definitely could be some drama, especially when you get to those franchise tag guys. The one that nobody's talking about,
Josh Jacobs,
is Josh Jacobs, you know, the reigning NFL rushing champion. You know, at this point, if there's not a long-term deal, and I believe I mentioned this when I was hosting last week, I don't anticipate Josh Jacobs being there at the start of training camp, and I don't know that he shows up week one. You know, with Saquon Barkley, he's also mused about potentially sitting out. That one's a little harder to believe, in part because there have been negotiations. They've talked about different contract structures. The Giants are motivated to try to get this thing done. But, you know, neither of those guys has signed the franchise tender. Only Tony Pollard has. And so you can't find Saquon or Josh Jacobs for not showing up. And then with, you know, a guy like Dalvin Cook, you know, the one thing that you have to always wonder here is at some point, you know, you've got however many teams are involved on Dalvin Cook. Let's call it a half dozen right now. At some point, some of those teams might pivot and say, you know what, we can't afford to wait and miss out on one of these other guys. Maybe we'll sign Kareem Hunt for $3-4 million instead of signing Dalvin for 7 or 8. You know, that's the uncontrollable part of this. But there's also nobody, you know, saying beside the franchise tag guys, there's nobody else who's in the category of Dalvin Cook as a playmaker and a home run hitter. He's got that, as he told us on the show last week, he's got that other shoulder fixed now. He feels like, you know, that really did hamper him the past few seasons. So you might be getting the best version of Dalvin Cook that we've seen to date.
Tom Pelissero, a couple minutes left with him as Mike Garofolo is driving through the wind shear of the Major Deegan in New York City right now as they go try to meet Ian Rappaport for a golf outing that is absolutely going to get rained out right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It is lightening up.
Hey!
It is lightening up here, Rich.
Look at us.
We seem to have crossed the Rubicon back there. We still got a drizzle. Mike says when we got on the hutch, that's really where it turned.
That's so famous.
It's got 18 minutes, 10 miles to go. I think we've got a shot here.
The famous low front of the hutch on New York City right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, your tweet about Brock Purdy yesterday going to throw in Florida under the watchful eye of coaches and doctors. Is he going to start week one? Is that really possible for Brock Purdy and the Niners as we're standing here talking or sitting here talking on the final Monday of June?
Everything is trending right now, Rich, toward Brock Purdy being ready for the regular season. And the question is just going to become how comfortable are the 49ers with putting him out there. And that's going to depend in part on how he looks through the course of training camp and how much he can handle. But he started throwing roughly a month ago, and he's been ramping it up since. He just got out to Jacksonville to work with Will Hewlett and Tom Gormley yesterday. And those guys, you know, they worked with Brock before the draft. They ran Anthony Richardson's pre-draft prep. This year, it's not just about continuing his rehab, but also working on his mechanics as he moves forward here. You wouldn't be doing that. You wouldn't be putting a two-week throwing program in late June and early July if you didn't feel really good about the direction that things are going. And Kyle Shanahan, you know, said recently, the last time he was asked about it, that yes, he believes right now there's optimism that Brock Purdy is going to be ready to go. And I think that, you know, sometimes I get even lost on this just because come playoff time and down the stretch of the season, I'm underwater with coaching searches and, you know, eventually the Senior Bowl and other things. like, you go back, you look what Brock Purdy did last year. The numbers are just, it's unbelievable. I want to say he had 16 touchdown passes, only 4 picks. He was 7-0 until he hurt the elbow in the NFC Championship game. He played at a really, really high level on a 49ers team that doesn't entirely have to rely upon the quarterback to carry them. You know, as Kyle Shanahan said recently, you know, talking about the quarterback room with Sam Darnold and Trey Lance, they like all those guys, but there's one guy who they know can do it, and that's Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who made himself very relevant by playing down the stretch after the injuries last season, performing at a really high level and putting himself in a position where if he's healthy and if the 49ers are comfortable from a medical perspective, I absolutely expect him to be the week one starter.
All right, last one for you. And since it's drizzling now, I'll throw this one out to Garofalo. So pop me on speakerphone.
All right,
once
on
again,
one
here we go. Very good. Again, Tom Pelissero. All right, Mike Garofalo driving, and in the passenger seat, Tom Pelissero. I'll start with you, Mike. Talking to is all of your sources and all your people. Which is the one team that you're hearing folks saying look out for that nobody's talking about? Which one keeps getting mentioned to you, or some of your sources like, tell me about that team because I'm concerned about them, or they're trying to mine you for information to see if this team is in fact for real? You got one for me, both of you?
I a lot of folks are telling me and saying you guys are not showing enough respect to the Green Bay Packers. Right, because we have our doubts as to whether you can move on from a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. So that is one team that I have been told, you know, expect them to be competitive. This notion that they're just going to fall off a cliff, especially with Matt LaFleur, who's an excellent head coach. That's the one that I've been coached up to keep talking about and say, hey, you'll look smart once the quarterback plays well. Over in the AFC, now this team is being talked about, but so many people are impressed with Mike McDaniel and what the Dolphins are doing and the talent that they have on the roster that, you know, and I know we're focused on the Jets so much and certainly the Buffalo Bills. So I guess you could say we're not talking enough about the Dolphins, but they get enough run as well. So if you're talking about different calibers or different levels, like, I don't know that we're looking at Green Bay as a Super Bowl candidate, but that's the team that maybe could thrust into playoff contention. I'm putting the Dolphins in that, hey, playoff possible team who could thrust themselves even higher into that Super Bowl caliber conversation.
And the part about the Packers is because Jordan Love, there's a lot of good conversation coming out of that camp that they really like what they're seeing, that we might see a seamless transition when it comes to that position.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I think a lot of I know a lot of people are impressed with what they saw from him last year. He was a different quarterback when he came into that Philadelphia game, the way that he was kind of able to see things and process things a lot quicker than we had seen in the past. And look, I honestly, the external conversation on Love to me has been more impressive from those who are impressed with how far he's come to Green Bay when they've kind of tamped it down. And when I talked to people there, they said, we didn't know for sure we had a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback in Aaron Rodgers when we moved on from Brett Favre. We felt pretty good about it. We also don't know that we have a really good quarterback for sure in Jordan, but we feel really good about it. So that helped them make the move from Aaron to Jordan. So, it's kind of funny how Green Bay wants to lower expectations. Everybody on the outside saying, hey, that guy looked really good. Like, he's really come a long way the last couple of years just by sitting.
All right. Thank you, Mike Garofalo. Now, Tom, it's your turn. Tom Pelissero, I'll give you the same question with the sources that you speak to, telling you this team, nobody's talking about enough, or, hey, what do you know about them? Because I'm getting a little nervous that they might actually be as good as I'm hearing. What do you got for me on that front?
I mean, this is a team that made the playoffs last year, but I don't think that there's been enough discussion about the L.A. Chargers just because of how talented teams in the league view that roster to be. Now, you know, they are in transition. They brought in Kellen Moore to run the offense. We know the numbers that Kellen Moore's offense is in Dallas have put up. And I know that, you know, there's this hyper focus on what happened in the playoff game last year against Jack second half when they let the lead slip away here. But, you know, that kind of has overshadowed the fact that, you know, in my opinion, Brandon Staley was a coach of the year candidate a year ago. I mean, you look at the games that they won, and yes, they've got Justin Herbert as a really bright young quarterback, but they did it with, you know, their top three receivers were almost never all healthy at the same time. You had the left tackle, Rashawn Slater, who's one of the best young offensive linemen in the game, missed almost the entire season. J.C. Jackson, who they gave a boatload of money to in free agency, basically missed the entire season. Derwin James was beat up. Joey Bosa missed a whole bunch of time. Without some of their best players, I mean, just think of that list. You're almost getting a bunch of extra free agents or draft picks back on a team that somehow still last year won 10 games and now, you know, brings on an offensive coordinator who's really got a strong track record within the NFL. You know, they still got to get through the Chiefs. As Brandon Staley pointed out when I had him on your show last week, you know, they've played the Chiefs tough. I mean, if you look at their history against them since Staley's been there over two seasons, you know, they've given Kansas City some really good games here. So does that mean that they can potentially take them down in the AFC West? Can they push for the AFC Conference Championship? That all remains to be seen just because, you know, the Chiefs, Lions, Patrick Mahomes there deserve to be the Super Bowl favorite pretty much every season from now until his 40th birthday. But if you just look at what they've got on paper, and I didn't even mention the draft where they, you know, added to that basketball room they got in the wide receiver room, It's a really impressive group, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Chargers-Chiefs continues to be, you know, one of the epic budding rivalries in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Yeah, Chiefs-Chargers first game is Week 7 when the Chargers are at Kansas City. All right, thanks for the tell Mike. Thanks for driving and talking and getting you to this point safely. Who's the fourth? Do we know who the fourth is for the round with Ian Rappaport and you two guys? Who's the fourth?
I don't know that Ian has any other friends, so I'm guessing we're just a threesome today.
Wow.
But wow. I should say the rain now, we are down to just a trickle.
Okay.
I think we are escaping it. So, So appreciate you you making this drive a little more interesting.
Okay,
Rich, what's up to the boys in the studio?
Hey, Tommy.
What up, bro?
Miss you guys already, and hopefully I'm back out there soon.
We'll see you soon. Thanks for the time. Thank Mike for me too. That's Tom Pelissero sitting shotgun. Mike Garofalo driving on their way to meet Ian Rappaport for golf amidst a rainy New York day right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That went well.
Nice.
Because Tom told me last night, I think he's going to be on the putting green. I had no idea that they pushed the tee time.
Glad everyone made it safely.
Boy, white knuckling. Through the rain on the Major Deegan, that is dicey territory.
No.
There's a lot of puddling. If you're driving in on the edges, because you know it.
Oh, you can hydroplane.
I don't need that. No.
That would be a disaster.
Yeah, that's not even a good. That's not even a good fantasy name. Hydroplaning Garofalo. Or is it?
It's not.
How was your day today? All right, we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kevin Van Valkenburg will be joining us at the top of the next hour. Don't you dare move.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Okay, so again, I don't think we, maybe some folks understand what we've just witnessed was, it does appear Mike Garofalo and Tom Pelissero just beat the Major Deegan, which has a similar record to the Van Wyck. If anybody who knows New York City driving, they just beat it. They just got successfully, without traffic, in a rainstorm to the Hutch. The Hutchinson Parkway, which I believe goes east to west across the Bronx, if I'm not mistaken.
Right?
Yeah, Hutchinson River Parkway. Long story short, has Tom sent you a photograph?
He did. Yeah, he sent TJ and I a photo.
I'm on the Pan Am list. Oh, there it is. It looks good.
Oh, that's clear.
That looks like rye to me.
That's clear.
Well, I just hope that there's proper drainage on Ian's golf course, words I never said before, with no hint of irony. I hope the instance golf course has proper drainage.
You love the fact that they didn't have a fourth when he said that.
Now, let me ask you a question.
No.
Wouldn't you want to know if I invite you to play who's who the fourth is?
Yes.
You wouldn't get in the car without knowing.
I would be like, oh, what's our group?
Right. And unless it's somebody that, you know, you consider, what's the word for it, a chooch?
Chooch.
Okay.
Chooch.
You'd play with this individual, right?
Of course.
Correct.
Chooches are not.
Certainly right. If I'm buying for the day.
Absolutely.
All right. If I had more time with them, I'd say, are you going to at least make the reach when it's time to tip the caddy?
Right.
Right? And Ian's got to be like, I got this.
Yeah, it's his course.
His course.
Right.
But you wouldn't, I'd want to know who the fourth is. In the same way that, remember we asked Larry David, somebody offers you tickets to a game.
Where are they?
You have to ask where they are. You have to map it, right? Yeah. You got to map it. Oh, he agreed.
They're in 308.
Thank you.
Staying home.
I got this.
We were looking for that the other day.
Yeah, what is that labeled? What's that labeled? The exact commercial, Alligator Arms. It's not that hard to find.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204. It's number to dial.
I think Jay Felly typed in Geico and couldn't find it.
It's Alligator Arms.
Yeah. No, we just saw some expert driving. Or heard expert driving. Heard expert driving.
We didn't see it.
We didn't see it. We heard it. Mike Garofolo driving Tom Pelissero through a rainstorm to meet Ian Rappaport to play golf. So you just heard excellent driving. Yeah. Well, guess what? Here on the Roku channel, you're going to see excellent driving. Ooh. You're going to see excellent driving because Roku and the sports experience here on Roku have now been kicked up a notch. Today, on this very day, it was announced that Roku's first live rights sports deal has been completed. Formula E, along with partners CBS and Paramount Plus, right here on the Roku platform, you're going to start seeing Formula E racing coming in 2024, right here on the Roku platform. And I couldn't be more excited about it for a couple reasons. One, we love being on the Roku channel and planting a flag here to say sports can be seen here. Not just Formula E, but you want to see pretty much every damn sport with a ball or a puck or anything else. You can check it out right here on the Roku platform as more and more people are streaming right here on the Roku platform. Very excited to now see that Roku is going to have a live sports aspect to it. And it's going to keep growing. Mm-hmm. It's just not just us anymore. And the reason why I also love it is because anybody that's been watching this show on the Roku channel since last September knows Formula E has been sitting right here the entire time.
Formula Eisen.
That's what the E stands for, right? I'm being told these are electric vehicles that are racing. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's still an exciting day. 5 races per season on CBS, nice. The prior deal with Formula E, and you can also stream it on Paramount Plus. Roku will stream 11 races per season right here on the Roku channel, and both Paramount Plus and the Roku channel races will be accessible through Roku's recently launched sports experience, which everybody who watches us already knows about because of the first Formula E. Now then, do we sponsor a car? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's mandatory.
Okay.
Obvious.
What goes on the car?
The logo.
That's the running man. That's without standing.
Yeah,
what
else? That's on the hood.
On the hood.
Running man on the hood.
What else we got?
Running man on the hood.
RES Consulting?
Maybe we got to put that on the trunk, maybe.
On the trunk?
On the door.
On the door.
That way when we're blowing by people, they can see, maybe we should call them up and see how our car can get ahead.
Well, what you do is, you know what you put on the back? What's the name of your boat?
Stugatz.
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 Can you believe that he named his boat
Stugatz? First off, he stole that from me because that was the name of my truck when I moved out here.
That was
actually Tony Soprano,
truck.
Theoretically.
Yeah, let's give it up to Tony Soprano first. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I mean.
All right.
David Chase.
What else we got? What else can we put on there?
What do we have around here? We got to get Stone Cold the sponsor. Maybe we get beer, the Stone Cold's beer.
Or Aikman's beer, right?
Or Aikman's beer.
Oh, a Reggie bar.
Come on, Reggie bar on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're incorporating our guests.
Yeah.
Who drives? Who's our driver?
Obviously me.
Well, I mean, why is it obvious?
I'm designated And I've gone through courses of
what do you mean
training?
What
course? So I mean,
but
I
you wrapped a car around a tree.
Not a cop car. That was my car.
When you were a cop.
Inebriated. Yes.
Like automatically eliminated.
I don't know if Formula E is going to clear you,
Mike. What are you talking about?
I don't know
about?
If you're going to get through the vetting process.
I drive everybody to the airport. I'm
is the fact that you drove Liza Minnelli to Scott Baio's house
I
one
drove
night.
Judy Garland's daughter, Liza Minnelli.
To Scott Baio's house.
To Scott Baio's
when you were a driver for Liza. Does that offset
thing? I was a Teamster. I'm the driver.
I used to be a driver myself, though.
I'm from the Northeast.
So am I.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
You're not from the Northeast.
What are you talking about?
Rich, you're from a place where everything is on a grid. That is not driving hard. You want to drive in New England.
Excuse me, you ever drive in Staten Island?
Drive in New England, my friend.
You ever drive in Staten Island?
Drive in New England, my friend.
You make the wrong move in Staten Island, suddenly your car's on four blocks. And I'm not talking about streets. All right?
Well, that would mean you're out. If you're getting your car put up on blocks,
no, I know how to drive
reliable.
It. I know how to drive it.
That means you're in St. Louis.
I only failed my driver's test once.
Now, in all honesty, both of you.
I blew a parallel parking in my parents' blue. You try to get your driver's license in a blue Pontiac Safari station wagon.
Please.
That ain't happening.
How long was that thing?
At any rate, Formula E's coming to the Roku channel.
Yes. Formula
is our way of saying we're excited.
Pontiac,
we're gonna have
Safari.
To table. We're gonna have to
God,
table who's
this
driving.
Is enormous.
We're tabling who's driving.
I mean, you guys both went with Mario Andretti, right?
Yeah, oh gosh, that was incredible
true.
Too.
You guys are theoretically
so
already trained.
There's a lot of experience
we've
here.
We've trained. We got experience.
Thus, it makes sense for Formula E to come to the Roku channel. Is what I'm saying.
And he said that he wrapped the car around the tree while he was inebriated.
No, it wasn't my cop car.
Not
my
cop car.
A civilian.
I will openly admit.
Employed by the local police department.
I will openly admit.
And he wants to be my Formula E driver.
I mean, that's 35 years
this
ago.
Station wagon is so long.
Say Vandalay Industries. Yeah, you try and get your driver's license with that nervous.
That's a YP.
I had to do it in a manual car.
What color was it?
It was blue.
Blue.
Powder blue. Like the Chargers uniform.
Ooh.
Those colors are great.
And then we got a Pontiac LE. Passed my driver's test. So much easier.
Just like that.
What year was the car?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I found like a nice blue one with the wood panel.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. That might be it.
It's for sale.
There you go.
Should we get it?
Did you have the rear seats? The rear seats facing the rear.
What is it? $10?
It's four figures.
How do you keep that four figure? How do you keep that in any condition?
Those are classic cars, Rich.
You want to drive it?
No. Nope.
No.
You know what we should do?
Top speed of 38 miles an hour.
We should put an electric motor in that, and that's our car on the Formula E circuit.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, but we want to win some races, too.
I don't know. Mike knows how to make things aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Does he?
Well, it involves a tree.
Wow.
Well, he knows how to stop a car.
Wow.
And the Roku folks are like, yep, that's the way to promote it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's the way to announce the arrival.
Formula Eisen.
Very exciting. Go.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.